Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Listen, good day to Grenada, Caracou, Peter Martinique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It is a joy and a pleasure to be with you once again. And with me in the studio is the man himself. Today is Mr. Mike Sylvester, Permanent Secretary Acting in the Ministry of Finance and Energy. Mr. Mike, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you back so soon. We don't often have you back around that soon. What's happening that bring you back so soon to talk to us?
Well, good day, Pastor Simon. And let me also say good day to all of your listeners, home and abroad. And as always, it's a pleasure to be back here in studio with you to discuss the business of the Ministry of Finance. That's what we do, and we... as part of our mandate, to be, of course, as open and transparent as possible in terms of what we do.
I don't know if it's only me, but your face is looking very young. I mean, normally, you're looking so youthful. You were looking much older when you took on the position. Now you have the position of permanent secretary. You're looking younger. Is it that the pressure agree with you, or doctors treat you so well?
I don't know about looking much younger, but if you say so, I thank you. I take it as a compliment.
I don't know. Normally, they say when men reach in that position, they agree and they get old. You seem to be getting younger and younger. Every time I see you, I don't know what the Prime Minister is doing to keep you so youthful. Is it he giving you some of his energy or something?
Well, maybe I'm trying to follow in his footsteps, you know.
That's a good thing.
With the exercise and so on.
But that's good. But it's good to have you back. I'm really, really happy that you're back here. We're celebrating 43 years of independence. What is happening? Is there anything you want to say to?
Well, I mean, I just want to wish everyone a happy independence. I mean, this is, in fact, I'm as old as independence now.
Yes. Well, you're not close to it. I mean, even more to confirm.
And so, you know, I want to wish everyone happy independence. I'm seeing a lot of preparation all over the place. In fact, I was looking at a video on Facebook this afternoon, I think in the south of the island, right, where they're having this, I think it's a circular drive. I think they're having some interesting activities there to celebrate our independence. And of course, as you go around the island, you see different things happening, as part of the celebration. So, I know that this year perhaps would be a big year as well, and even a bigger year than perhaps other years. So it's always happy to celebrate my birthday.
Yeah, it is. Know. And seeing that you're celebrating a birthday with us, and you're looking that youthful, I mean, I would think that the country is in a good place then.
Well, yeah, it's the same year, not the same day. just to be clear.
Okay, folks, you heard him say it himself. Now, so Mike, tell me, how is the budget the implementation process going at this early stage in the year? Because it's pretty much in December, the budget was late November, right? And then December, right? Mm-hmm. And pretty much is about 2 months since. How is the implementation going?
Well, it's 1 month. We're in the second month, really. Just starting. The budget implementation is going pretty good, I must say. We have, in fact, received all our expenditure plans from the ministries and departments. We have received all the revenue projections from the ministry, from the customs IRD, and of course all the other government departments. And we have, of course, issued a finance circular, which is also part of the process, advising and providing direction in terms of how we can ensure a smooth implementation of the budget. And so far, so good. I mean, things are happening very nicely. We are also very pleased to see that in the first month, our revenue projections, we have again exceeded our revenue projections.
Are you serious?
In fact, IRD would have exceeded by almost 6 million.
Wow.
And we have customs by about 1.2 million. So, we had a good start to the year,
wow,
really, and if that continues, More than likely, we'll meet our targets for the year in terms of the fiscal responsibility law and other targets that we've set for ourselves as part of the Ministry of Finance. So it's looking good so far. So
wow.
Good. Yeah.
That's why you had a big smile on your face, man. Things good, butter on your mouth, like the old people say. You know what I mean, I can't understand. If the first month of the year, you look at your project and you're already in a good place, right. I mean, it really gives you a good feeling, too.
Yes, yes, yes.
About what would happen.
Of course.
Now, when you were last here, you spoke to us about the salary negotiations with the unions. What is the current status of the salary negotiations with the public service union?
Well, no change from the last time we spoke. As I said at the last interview, government would have settled with a number of the unions. So we would have settled with the teachers, we would have settled with the police welfare, the prisons welfare mm-hmm. association. We would have settled with the GIMMIU. I hope I have that correct. Who of course represents some of the estate workers and so on. And we would have settled with those organizations. The two outstanding unions representing public workers, that's TAU and the public workers unions, are the ones that are outstanding. And I mean, we would have tried to lay out basically what are the implications for the fiscal responsibility law. Were we to accept what the unions are asking? What's on the table now really is as I said, was 3% for 2017, 3% for 2018, and 4% for 2019. Of course, with a $1,000 one-off payment to be made. So the other unions would have accepted that, and we are proceeding to pay by end February, once that period comes. But the other unions who have not settled, it's a bit of a problem for us. And in that we hope that there will be a settlement very very shortly. So that's where it is. I understand there's a meeting. I think it's after the on the 14th. Again, the unions are meeting with the membership, and hopefully at that stage there may be some resolution there. I don't know, but we continue to make the point that accepting what the unions are offering, accepting what unions are asking for, would put Grenada in a very difficult position. In the sense that, first of all, it would mean that we have to break a law that was passed in Parliament in our country. It also would have very serious negative fallout in the international community, based on all the progress that we have made so far, and going back on some of those commitments by breaking your own law. I mean that of course would be looked upon very very negatively. So.
So that lead me to ask a question that you raised earlier on. Explain to us again the physical responsibility law again. Explain and what it means in layman terms, because persons would be hearing it. It comes up again about you will break the law, physical responsibility, you cannot do what the unions are. This union is asking you to do. Explain to us about this law.
Right. So this is a law that has been passed in other countries. In fact, this law exists in Anguilla, for instance. It exists in other countries around the world. Now, the idea behind the fiscal responsibility law is really ensuring fiscal and debt sustainability, right? So it ensures that you spend within your means and that you don't run amok with your fiscal.
So live within your means, like we would say.
Right. And so What it sets out is a set of rules by which you would govern your fiscal situation to ensure fiscal discipline going forward, and so that you will of course achieve your debt targets, which has international benchmarks in terms of debt targets, would ensure that your wage bill and so on is sustainable going forward, to ensure that your wage negotiations are undertaken within a framework that ensures sustainability. So you basically have rules on your wage bill. You have rules on your expenditure. You have rules on your primary balance and so on. And basically, that is what the fiscal responsibility spells out. So it says, in terms of the wage bill, for instance, it said your wage bill should be no more than 9%. And of course, that again is based on international benchmarks and so on. It says that your primary expenditure should grow by your rate of inflation, right? Or by a percentage adjusted for inflation. It says, for instance, that you should achieve a surplus, a primary surplus. And a primary surplus there is your total revenues and grants less your total non-interest expenditure. That you should run a primary surplus of 3.5% of GDP for a period until you achieve your targets of 60% of GDP. And of course, that 3.5%...
Just explain for the layman, what is GDP?
Right. So GDP is basically is a shortened for gross domestic product, which is the total value of goods and services produced in your country in a particular year. And so every year, the statistics department will calculate what is the GDP. And if it's bigger than last year, then you hear the country is growing. If it's smaller than last year, then the country would have declined. Basically, that is what you're talking about.
Okay. So pretty much you are saying that if the government were to go ahead and ask and do what the public service union is asking, you'd be breaking the law. And that
right.
comes back to the point of the physical responsibility law.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Have all increments now been paid? I know that was something that government was dealing with. Have you paid out all the increments?
Yes. So all the increments, in fact, the last tranche, the last installment was paid with salaries at the end of January, right? And we also adjusted salaries again for increments at the end of January to keep the salaries current, right? So just a little background on the increments as well. You would recall that when the program started, government asked for a freeze on the increments. Basically, government said, please let us not pay increments for the period of the program. The unions would have argued that this is a law. You cannot, and it's really a law in the teachers in the Education Act only, not in the public
in the mean, public service,
right? But I mean, if you give one, you have to give all. That's how it has been all the time. So, and eventually agreed to settle the outstanding increments and so on. And so we had discussions with the union, entered into an agreement to finalize all the payments by the middle of February, by the 15th of February, and we'd have already done that. So we'd have cleared out all the increments, and that was based on the better than expected fiscal situation that we had. And I think just to go back on the wages, I think what is being offered now with the unions that have not settled is that if the situation is better than we expect, having a review, for instance, in July or middle of the year, then government may be in a position to give you more. But you cannot commit at this particular stage because you don't know what that situation will be ready.
Right.
And if you commit now, then it may react, basically.
Okay. So the increments has been paid and people, I guess, are happy. That's why there's so much money spending around this time of the year.
And not only the increments, we have adjusted this for those unions that have settled.
Right.
The 3% salary adjustment would have been made. So persons would have gotten an increase on their salaries. But
that
those
nice,
who would have signed on the dotted line. I mean, those who have not signed, government can proceed unless
I should be working with government now that makes some money. Teachers and so forth now are happy, I guess. There.
Well, I would say, I mean, they would have, government would have met their fundamental commitments to them, and so I'm not on the ground with the teachers, so I can't speak to that, but I suspect that they are happy.
Okay, now. We agreed to talk about the physical relief when you come back, and something we started almost at the end of the program when you were here last. Please tell us a bit more about the relief measure announced in 2017 budget.
Right. So, I mean, as the Prime Minister would have mentioned in his budget announcement, there are a number of fiscal relief measures, right? That of course will benefit a wide range of stakeholders. Including the public servants as well. So, for instance, one of the first things that we announced is the whole issue of a reduction in the personal income tax rate, the 15% rate from 15 to 10%. So that is that already is an immediate relief. So, for instance, if you were paying, say, $300 on the that's persons who are earning on the $24,000 between 36,000 and 60,000. You would have been paying $300 there. You're now paying $200, right?
Okay.
So that's basically $100 a month that you
that you're getting
you
your
pocket. Less. Yeah.
So I could go and buy some Kentucky with it.
Yeah.
And feed my family.
Yeah. So it's so that's I mean that has would have started since January. So that's an immediate benefit that persons are experiencing. You also have as part of the government would have announced relief on the annual stamp tax, right?
Oh, yes.
And so businesses and so on would benefit from that once that's become effective. We are also working on the issue of pensions, right? One of the major concerns that persons have, that as a pensioner, you would have paid income tax all the years, and now you've been asked to pay again. You know, when you retire, and you should be enjoying your income at that stage. And in most cases, the income as a pensioner is not significant.
Right, a small amount.
Small amount. So, what government would have done initially was to remove it on NIS pension. What government has moved to further is basically to remove it on all pensions. And so, what we are basically working through now is the legal changes that would affect that, that would give effect to that. And of course, we will do it retroactively. So from January, it will take effect, and all persons who whatever pension income that you're getting, you would not be required to pay income tax on those. So that's another one. The reduction in the LPG. That's the 20-pound cylinder. That was effected on the 18th of January.
So the benefit already.
So the benefit already started. Now, with the LPG, and why it was not, I think I heard a comment that we said it was going to be effective from the 1st of January. The system we have, the automatic fuel pricing mechanism that is in place, is where government changes the price of fuel every 4 weeks, every month, every 18th of every month, right? So the last change would have made in the 18th of December, and then you make it again at the 18th of January, and then you'll make it at the 18th of February. Now, how we arrive at the, and I just want to speak to a bit in terms of the automatic pricing fuel mechanism, where what happens is that government, there's a full pass-through of the cost of fuel. So if you buy, what changes every month really is the cost insurance free. And if that goes up because of where the price of oil is, you will see a small increase in the final price. If it goes down, you see a decline in the price of gas. And you see that every month, you know, it might go back a few cents, go down by a few cents, but on average, you know, it is what is, and based on where the price of oil is at this stage, you know, we don't see any significant change on the horizon in respect of where the price of gas and diesel and so on would be. And what government has done in terms of the announcement in the budget is to provide relief on the 20-pound cylinder. You've heard people say it's a poor man's cylinder. I mean, everybody uses that. So you basically, what you will get is that the benefit will reach a much wider part of the population. As opposed to perhaps you say you remove a few cents on the gas itself, and it would probably just benefit persons who drive. Yeah.
Okay. When you were last here, we also spoke about something about a sixth review. I remember you mentioning in that, but we didn't go into detail what was happening because you couldn't at that time, and that has to do with the IMF. Has this review started?
Right, Pastor. Before I go into the review, I just want to just make two additional points on the fiscal relief measure. So there's a registration amnesty that was also announced. And what it means that if you have a business now that would have started before, or you are about to start, if you register late, you would not be required to pay the penalty for registration, right? So that is an important, there are a number of businesses out there that are operating,
and they're not registered
with the IRD. If you miss that opportunity, then of course you'll have serious penalties and interest and so on being applied.
So that is up to when?
So right, the period of the registration of the, it just slipped my mind, but it was a period of 3 months, January to March.
Okay.
Right. So you have
that's
that period,
of 2017.
2017. Sorry, you have that time to register. There is also the annual stamp tax filing amnesty, right? So there are a lot of companies who have annual stamp tax that haven't filed for a number of years. We are saying that if you file for those years now, you're not going to be required to pay the penalty for filing. So that's an opportunity to bring your taxes up to date.
You want everybody to come in and bring the taxes up to date,
and you're not going to be charged the penalty and so on for lack of filing or late filing. Right, so that is what is being offered as part of the amnesty process. On the IMF program, we have started discussions with the fund. Yeah. Now, basically, what happens in terms of how the review process would go is that we are required, as part of the program, to submit information in terms of by a certain time, right? Every month, right? So when the revenue numbers come, we send the revenue numbers, we send the expenditure numbers, we send the CBI numbers, we send the debt numbers, we send all the numbers, right? And they would then analyze those numbers, right? Look at what has happened in the past, and they would ask questions. Why has this gone up? And then we are required to provide explanation. What is happening with expenditure? I mean, expenditure is for instance, wages and salaries. If they see a bump in wages and salaries, what is causing that? And then we are required to explain some of those issues. And then we produce documentation because they want to see, the fund don't just take your
word for it.
Right. So we have to produce documentation from our computer system. This is basically what is happening here. This is the explanation for this. This is the explanation for that. So we have basically started the information exchange process.
Mm-hmm.
They have submitted a number of questions. We have agreed that the mission, that's when they would come physically in Grenada and not just meet with government, but meet with all other stakeholders. And in terms of the assessment of what's happening in the economy and so on and so forth. So they don't just take Ministry of Finance numbers, mm-hmm. right? And so that is planned for March 15th to the 22nd. So once they would have done the mission, then they would go back and start preparing for the board meeting. Right now, there are two issues right now that we face with respect to the program. One of the issues is that we, based on our internal analysis, we are going to miss the target on the seed, on the social spending. That's basically the program. Is the support for education and enhancement and development,
okay.
Right? That's the program that is managed through the Ministry of Social Development. That's the income support
income
program.
Income support.
Now, what has happened there? By June of this year, we were on track. Yeah, and what?
That's June of 2016.
June of 2016.
All right, you were on track.
We were on track. Right. Now, as part of the program with the World Bank, we are implementing a reform to ensure that persons who benefit from the program are the ones that should be on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And persons who should not be on the program...
To be removed.
To be removed, right? And so what would have happened is a process of phasing out that would have started. The process of phasing in, because there are persons who should be on the program and they are not there.
Mm-hmm.
That process was a little slower than we had anticipated.
Okay.
So what you saw is a little dip in the expenditure. So we were required to, as a flow, to spend $14 million. And I think what the numbers came up to of that were almost 13.6 million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So they are missed by a very small margin, but I mean...
It is a miss.
It's a miss, but it's not a performance criteria under the program. It's what is called an indicative target.
It is something on the side
right,
of the
so
targets.
Right, so it doesn't affect the program in a sense.
The whole outcome of the program.
Right. It just means that okay, when they in doing the analysis, they will say, government met. They wouldn't say government all the criteria because they
are criteria,
right.
Not.
But it doesn't affect the program fundamentally because it's not one of the performance targets. If you want to call it
right.
The criteria.
It is not a foundation. Not one of the foundation.
Foundational the, right. The, foundational
the,
targets.
Okay.
So the foundational targets are the thing like the primary balance. The primary spending, the thing like whether you contract non-concessional debt, whether you have arrears on borrowing,
mm-hmm.
Those are the
fundamental
foundation issues.
Things.
There.
Okay,
right.
What does government anticipate to be the outcome of the review, the sixth
right.
review?
Well, I think the review will be, again, I think we. From our internal review, we are going to successfully complete the review if we continue to do the things that we are doing now correctly. So one of the things, for instance, that we have to resolve is some of the outstanding debt restructuring issues that we have. So that's one, right? We also have the issue with the wage negotiation because that is still up in the air, right? And so... The review would want us to be able to settle this so that we can say definitely that this is not going to affect
right.
the program, right? That is something that is up in the air. But I mean, I believe that by the time
it can be resolved,
as I mentioned, there are some of the debt restructuring issues. So we have debts, for instance, like Libya, I mean, when you look at the history of the matter, you'd have heard that debt was written off. You'd have heard, person would have gone to Libya, basically came back and communicated that those debts were written off. But what we have never gotten is a letter
saying that,
that is the case. So we have that carrying. Now the fund doesn't. They would want to see that documentation because we can't just tell them, okay, you say the debt was written off. Where are the evidence to prove that?
Yeah.
And so that is something that is just hanging there. That's like Trinidad and Tobago, for instance. When we would have gotten, after Ivan, some debts from Trinidad and Tobago, the indication at the time was that, sometime down the road that, there's no demand for payment, really. Sometime down the road that may be converted into a grant. The situation in Trinidad now is a little different. So, we don't expect to hear anything in terms of restructuring, but the fund is not interested in that. They want to know what
facts
are you doing to resolve
the paper trail.
The paper trail.
They want to see.
And so we have to find a way
to resolve
those issues before the end of the program. Because what would have been happening during the life of the program that we were able to get Trinidad and some of the other countries to say that, go ahead with the review. We have no issues. We have no concerns with Grenada on those matters. But I think now that you're closing, they would not want this thing to be hanging.
They want to make sure they fix it before they leave.
Fixing it would really mean just basically
saying what it is.
You commence payments on even on the restructured terms. You commence payments and you move right along on some of those matters. But it's just a few of those that we're talking about. Algeria, Libya, Russia. There was a recent visit by the ambassador for Russia, in fact, and one of the things that he indicated that he thought they had written off the debt. And you're talking about a small amount. They subsequently communicated and said that we are required to pay. But it's about what, 200,000+
okay.
US. It's a small amount.
Money.
But it's just that what we have to do is just basically start
communicating
and regularizing those outstanding issues.
Okay, we're running quickly out of time again as we go. What can we say of the performance of the economy at the early stage in the year?
Yeah, so as I said initially, we are seeing some very positive signs.
Mm-hmm.
As was announced in the budget, we expect the economy to grow by about 3%. That's the Ministry of Finance view. The Prime Minister, of course, feels that the economy will grow much stronger. And it has happened in the past where but our thing is to take a conservative approach. You'll be conservative. If you do much better, then it looks better. But if you look at the past years, this has held out. The past years we've said 2%, 3%, and the economy in fact grew as much as 6% and 7%. So but a lot is happening. A lot is happening in a number of the sectors. The tourism sector continued to show very good progress. The construction has picked up significantly. Some of the projects that you have heard announced in the budget, a lot of those projects are starting and they've seen movements there. So the construction is doing well. Education, again, SGU, that continues to be a strong
indicator
there. So far, so good. It's very early in the year. So it's very early to say exactly, make any serious projections in terms of, but early indications that the economy will be, yeah.
Final question. When are you leaving? I want to know. A lot of us want to know. When are you leaving? It's for the World Bank?
No. It's the International Monetary Fund.
International
IMF.
Monetary Fund. Uh-huh.
Let me say I am very humbled by this opportunity. And I really do want to do well.
Want you to do well too.
Thank you. For, of course, my country, my myself and family. And I will do my best, So I'm very happy. I should be taking up assignment on the 13th of February, which is not too long from now.
Wait, say that again, Mike. on when? That's the day after the day before Valentine's, the 13th of February.
The day before Valentine's.
And we're pretty much looking at the 5th. So you telling me within the next 2 weeks, you gone? Well, not 2 weeks, week.
Yes, that's and so we there are consequential changes at the Ministry of Finance as a result of that.
So who would be the new PS?
The new PS would be Kim Fedrick will be taking over from me for the time being as acting PS. We are also bringing in some additional support from outside.
Okay.
So we have a number of persons coming in various roles to basically support the work of the Ministry of Finance. And we also would have, as I said, a new DPS and those kind of consequential changes there. So I know the team that's there. I think they're very it's a young team. They're on the ball. They've been there for a while. And
well, as Timothy Lefty say, leaving the ministry in good hands.
Good. I say the same thing. I say the same thing. You know, I'm impressed by the bunch of guys that are there. And I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that they will continue to do well, and keep the, keep doing what is required to move the ministry forward, and of course by extension, help the country, you know, grow and so on.
Well, we want to wish you well. I personally want to wish you well. I mean, I would miss your youthfulness and your vigor and your energy. And coming here and sitting and talking. I was often calling and sitting and chat. And you know, you're such a warm, interesting person to speak with. And even at your youthful age and looking even much younger than you are, I would hope that you would come back looking well fit and ready to take on the job whenever you do come back.
Right.
So on behalf of the team that I work with here, I want to wish you well. On behalf of the St. George's Baptist Church, we want to wish you well. And all prayers and thoughts would go with you and your family.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you so very much. And of course, as I said, this is one of our flagship initiatives within the Ministry of Finance, and we hope to continue and sharing our work with the listeners and so on and open up the Ministry of Finance to the general public. So we are very happy and we of course also want to extend best wishes to you and the team here. And we'll continue to work and collaborate closely together going forward.
That's good. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
You've been listening there to Mr. Mike Sylvester. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to really miss him. He is the acting permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance and Energy. And have been, how long have you been in the ministry?
Well, I started in June of 1996, right? June 17th, to be exact. You know, so you're talking about 20 years.
20 years, that's quite a long time.
And it has been an extremely interesting journey for me, and I do hope to at some stage to continue to contribute in some form or fashion.
No, that's very good. Yeah. I would really like to sit and talk with you. I hope I could find the time about your journey for the 20 years before you leave. I would like to do that. I mean, I would like to sit up and talk to you about your journey in the Ministry of Finance before you leave. So if you could find a little time in your busy schedule and say, okay, I'll check you this evening at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock so we could sit down and talk. It would be interesting just to record that because I think, you know, as people grow and develop, there's so much things that has happened sometimes that you miss in the capturing. But God bless you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Mr. Mike Sylvester. I know I go over time a little bit, but it was just good. I needed to talk with him and hear what he's saying here. And he's acting permanent secretary of the Ministry of Finance. And he's leaving on the 13th of February. He'll be off to the IMF. And we don't know how long he will be there, but we're looking forward and excited about him coming back ready and prepared. I don't know what position he'll only come back because, you know, when they come back, oh, can I think this up? We know what happened to our good friends at Timothy yet, but we don't know. So let's keep our mind and heart open. All right, folks, take care of yourself. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there. Also to the Ministry of Finance website. This program also will be there. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon with Mr. Mike Sylvester. Wishing you a very blessed, enjoyable, and fulfilling week. Join me here next week at the same time. We do it all over again right here on this station. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.